Disclaimer. All opinions expressed by our guests are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Money FM or any of its affiliates.
Welcome to Outside In at Money. This is the show where me and my veritable co-host, Moelo Chibesakunda, take a look at the companies making stories, making news on our local stock exchange. Do you have for us today? What gossip from the stock exchange do you have for us
today? Right. So it's been a fantastic week thus far. Mm-hmm. I know that there's obviously been a lot of talk about certain companies that are supposed to be coming, supposed to be getting listed. But, you know, for now, we'll focus on the big boys of the stock exchange.
Sure.
The finance director actually admitted that it's very difficult to actually compare apples with apples when it comes to the 2017 and 2018 financial year. That is because the company realigned its financial year. Mm. So when you open up the annual report, you'll probably notice that 2017 only has 5 months, whereas 2018 has the full 12 months. So it's very difficult to compare the two. So in terms of our analysis, and essentially what we've done is that we've kind of broken it down into two articles. So we released part one today. And it's a smashing article. Okay. Now, in terms of how the company's been faring, they've had a very, very interesting year. It's been quite challenging from a business perspective because not only has competition been rife, but they were also met earlier on with a couple of challenges such as mm-hmm. diseases to some of their crop. But they were actually able to weather the storm, regarding that. But as I had mentioned earlier, regarding the change in financial year, the finance director today actually explained that this is now going to be like comparing apples with pears, because the growing season for Zambia Sugar before was aligned into one season, but then now with the new financial year, it means that you have the tail end of the previous season and the beginning of the new season being covered mm-hmm. in one financial year. So it makes it a bit more challenging. But then again, the management team rises to the occasion to ensure that they're still able to create value. So now when it came to analyzing this particular company, we had the annual report with us, and we obviously looked at some of the things that that are obviously very critical.
This annual report you're looking at is for the year ending
2018.
That's the full 12
that is the full yeah that's the okay. full 12 months. So now in this particular case, their annual year is actually ending end of August. So that's the change that's been there. Exactly. So now, what we notice, and the nice thing, and we always insist on this in all the articles that we write, that for analysts, it's always important to go for the audited financials. However, it is a requirement by LUSE for companies to publish half year results which are unaudited. Now, with the half year results, they obviously give you like a projection in terms of what you should expect at the end of year. So this is actually fantastic that we actually have the audited financials with us. Now, we'd like to take listeners back. A wee bit, because the story of this year's results kind of started a bit earlier. So our first point of contact of the audited results actually came in November on 8th of November when the company signaled through the company secretary Mansa Mutimushi, where she issued a statement from the board which indicated that the full year results, and she also mentioned about the 5 year months for the previous one. But then one of the things that we actually picked up from, and this is why this first article on Zambia Sugar is very, very important, because we're writing this for potential and would-be investors in the company. Mm-hmm. We look at the signals that are coming from the management team, and we wanted to dissect each and every statement that actually came up, because that way it kind of gives us a feel of how these guys are actually running this company. Because I'll mention later on that one of the pertinent issues that actually came up at today's event was the dividend. The talk of the dividend is huge, because this is a company that's had invested heavily in lots of projects. Right now it's sitting on a mountain of debt, which is obviously impacting its finances. Mm. However, they still remain fairly profitable, but because of the debt burden, that has obviously now constrained their ability to actually pay a dividend. So one of the things that we would actually know, so first of all, we went down through the letter to shareholders by Fidelis Banda, who is the chairman of the company. Mm. And he obviously opens his letter to shareholders in a very open and candid way, and then he also stresses that the business had undergone stress as a undergone stress in the last 3 years. And you know, to this effect, it has continued impacting the business, and obviously has affected the growth of growth and productivity. However, Fidelis is pretty coy in terms of his outlook, as you know, obviously the management team has implemented certain strategies through their CEO Rebecca Couture, beautiful woman, and you know, she's been leading her team to ensure that they put in place measures that will mitigate the impact of the difficult times that they've gone through. Now, to start with, obviously there's been the issue of the macro environment. Fidelis actually goes ahead and explains that, look, you know, the macro environment was fairly stable in earlier parts of parts of the year.
Do we know why they racked up so much debt?
Now, the catch is they've had projects, huge projects, so they were expanding on the production factories. So that obviously impacted. They obviously had to acquire quite a bit of debt. But I'll have listeners know that part two of the article, which drops hopefully by the weekend, you will actually be able to see where exactly this money was coming from and how exactly they used it. Mm-hmm. We have also articles on Financial Insight Zambia website that actually discuss, you know, some of the things that they've done. But then in this year's annual report, they actually lay it bare in terms of how, you know, the money basically was broken down.
This is a question of ethics I want to bring up. So I know that you are a shareholder, so you're privy to that information.
Absolutely.
Are non-shareholders allowed to know that?
Well, the catch is the annual reports are public information.
They're public information.
Yes, and that's the thing about, and that's why they're called PLCs, public limited companies.
So,
yeah.
So these are limited to shareholders.
Exactly.
Only.
So it's not limited to shareholders only, because catch is, if you want to be a potential investor, you'll be approaching a stockbroker who will then now point you to the annual report as information that you need to actually
need
access.
To know,
Luce requires these companies to actually put these reports on their investor pages. So you'll notice that most of the big websites like ZCCMIH, Zambia Sugar, they will have like investor pages section where they actually upload this one. And basically, it's just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
There's certain people that just, you know, fancy, you know, as opposed to reading car magazine, they'll go and pick up
and read up an investor report.
They'll just go and read up an annual report. And FYI, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course.
She. Yeah. Right. Back to the Swedish company.
Sure,
right. So now, you know, Fidelis also does acknowledge that, you know, that, you know, sadly, though, debt continues to be, you know, cause sleepless nights, you know, for him. Not that he actually says that, but, you know, this is so much so that, you know, the board has actually opted not to pay, not to declare a dividend.
Big decision.
It's a huge decision because, you know, shareholders have been very, very patient with the company. Yes, they have. And they've obviously had like a bit of a turnaround. One of the things I noticed at today's event is that, you know, you had a lot of pensioners, you know, these are probably former employees, guys that, you know, invested in the company because they believe in it. And, and rightly so, because one of the things that, you know, I have people know is that, you know, Zambia Sugar has always been a household name. Mm-hmm. I mean, from as far back as many people have grown up, they've always known about Zambia Sugar. So it's a sort of... goodwill that people have for the company, and that's what, you know, drives people to actually want to invest in the company. And you know, it obviously has a particular sweet spot, but going through what they've gone through over the last 3 to 4 years in terms of the project and spending money on capitalizing infrastructure projects, etc., what that means is that obviously it does cause a bit of a drain. And essentially, depending on how the finance director puts in place her capital structure, you will know that, you know, that part of it in terms of financing the construction of the expansion project will not only come from organically raised funds. This is from your revenue. Most of this money will actually come from the bank or internally from the group company, because we have already seen signals of, you know, money that came in from Big Brother. This is the Ilovo company,
to finance some of these things.
But that's something that we're going to cover in part two. Now, one of the things, though, that I was quite encouraged by Fidelis' statement is that, you know, that the managing team is still focused on shareholder returns. Now, you know, the board is obviously they believe that having a high quality and sustainable long term revenue stream and earnings growth is what is key for the company. So it obviously will require a disciplined approach, according to him, in terms of how capital is allocated, and then also coming up with a progressive dividend policy. Now, I know that when it comes to dividend policy, this is something that, you know, obviously come next week, you know, Rebecca and the team will obviously have to give answers, you know, to shareholders, because from what the sentiment that I got today, people are anxious to actually get a, you know, get some feedback regarding the dividend. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, when people invest in companies, at some point in time, they want a return on investment, and the dividend is a way in which to actually do that. However, and this is why we felt that it was important to actually do this piece where we actually now look at the mindset of the management team in terms of how exactly they're thinking, what sort of strategies that they're employing, because then that way, if you're an investor or potential investor in the company, you will know whether you're going in it for the long term or the short term. Yeah. In this particular case, this is obviously a long term journey. Now, that I'll have any prediction in terms of when
you say that, but like I think you did say that you took like a longer past rear view look.
Yes.
At the company. So
exactly.
In terms of their profit margin, how do you think they've fared over the past couple?
Right. Now, in terms
I know from the past year, it's difficult because that's apples to apples. And
exactly. Right. So now, in terms of their performance in the past, and I'll just bring it up here. So, you know, when we looked at their past performance, you can actually tell, like, from the last 3 years, obviously their margins took a bit of a hit. And don't forget that it was caused by many factors. First of all, you've got the big project going on. Second, you had the myriad in terms of behavior of the macro environment, in terms of certain economic indicators. Mm-hmm. You know, inflation was all over the place. The exchange rate as well, exchange rate volatility. So all of those things kind of like impacted them. Now, for Zambia Sugar, I often feel that it's often best to kind of like take a further back view. Mm. This is probably going back, I would even say six years.
Really?
But yes. For the simple reason that yes, they have had very, very good days, and it's only then that when they realized that demand for their product was actually increasing. But then one of the things that Rebecca touched on today is that, you know, on a global scale, sugar demand has obviously fallen, the market is actually quite saturated. Though the company did mention that they actually do have a lot of exports going, they're quite substantial exports that are going out. But you know, on the main, it's obviously now been a bit of a challenge to compete at that level. For example, markets like Europe is no longer a destination market for the company because of, you know, various factors, such as, you know, when you bring on issues of not only is competition, but then also health issues as well.
The product,
you know,
is actually being substituted.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And lots of substitutes that are coming in there.
The parent company, do we know what is their main line of business? What is Ilovo's main line of business?
Well, Ilovo obviously manages a lot of sugar companies all around.
Sugar companies.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. But I will need to get into the crux of it. And, you know, interesting that you should actually bring that up, Chi, because today, there was a very interesting question that was posed to the CEO of Zam Sugar.
Okay.
And they, you know, the lady asked the question, should Zam Sugar continue to just produce such products? Can they not think of, and she gave the example of using molasses to make spices. Exactly. So essentially, when you have a particular configuration in terms of what sort of product that you can actually have, essentially, if Financial Insight had to actually ask the question, is your factory adaptable to actually allowing you to produce new products that can actually allow you to compete? However, the response that that I got, and when I went offline with one of their directors of distribution and supply, he'd actually indicated that, look, for them, their focus has been quality. Ensuring that they send to market a high quality product. Now, usually when a company says that it's going to invest on quality, you then now know that they're obviously going to have a huge capital expenditure in terms of making sure that that particular product is of a high standard.
Yeah.
Chances are companies like that tend not to want to declare a dividend today.
Yeah.
They'll be looking at declaring a dividend later on. So for these guys, they're not only looking at protecting their market share, but then also differentiating themselves by, if you can call it that, by ensuring that they have a higher quality product. Because yes, the management team did actually admit that there's a lot of sugar products that are actually out there. So, you know, it does make it, you know, highly competitive. And then, you like you mentioned, there's also substitutes as well.
Yes, I get that. But like, won't the shareholders be concerned to say that, why don't you just stick to what you know? because have they been profitable for the past year? Have they ever had
actually
a loss?
You know, the only loss that they declared was actually 2017.
2017
yes,
was
exactly,
the last year.
Yes, okay. In the last year since 2015 they've been profitable, and only one year actually dipped. And I believe there's an article that we covered that actually discussed the issues around that, so people can go and read about it
on
fizambia.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, I knocked you off your armadillo there. Did you have anything else to say?
Yes. Oh, I've got plenty
okay,
to say. Yeah.
So before
we go to the break, yeah. So one of the issues that I wanted to touch on was obviously, some of the areas in which they've seen that they can actually, that allow them to continue to create value. So the company obviously knows that it's important to keep on improving cane yields and production as well. But then they also know that in order for them to deliver shareholder value, mm-hmm. it's important for them to ensure that the product gets to the right markets and at the right mix. Okay. Now, this is obviously something that, you know, even us at Financial Insight underlined. You see, this is a company that obviously has been watching what other players like your Lafarge or your Zambeef. Mm-hmm. If you recall from earlier episodes, we actually discussed the issue of things around Lafarge. They had the Binnestore. Binnestore allows Lafarge to get your product closer to the customer. Now, think Zambeef. Zambeef also has the micro outlets, which also allow them to get the product closer to the consumer. Similarly, we've seen evidence now that Zambia Sugar is also pursuing a similar strategy of trying to realign its distribution network in order to make it easier for the consumer to access its products. So there's a lot of reconfiguration that is going on, and it's all under Project P400.
Are we going to see Zambia Sugar stores coming up very
well,
soon?
Well, not really. Yeah, but we're investigating further in terms of how exactly they're actually going to do that. But there's been a lot of reconfiguration of the supply chain.
Okay, I mean, like, they're in many canton bars and little kiosks on the corners of the street. You do find Zambia Sugar bags in
absolutely,
there.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But then, you know, it's important that the path to the customer is actually streamlined. So you don't want any disturbances or rather any distractions. You want the customer to be focused and to be able to see your product.
Yeah, very good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm looking at you like, yes, and some more, please.
No, we'll pick it up after the break.
All right, sure. Let's take a breather. I think you do need one. All right, guys. We're going to take a quick breather. Are we continuing Zambia Sugar after the break?
Yes, yeah.
All right, cool, cool, cool. So we're going to be back with more Zambia Sugar after the break. Please stay tuned.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Disclaimer.
All opinions expressed by our guests are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Money FM or any of its affiliates.
Just a little housekeeping, guys. Remember, you can interact with us as well, with me and Muelo whilst we're in studio. No phone calls, but we will allow you to send in messages. 0967-144-220. If you have any questions, any comments, any concerns, any gripes, we're happy here to address them. 0967-144-220. That's good for mobile messages and WhatsApp text as well. And also on any social media platform, use the hashtag Money Night Show. We'll see that and respond to that. All right. So, where did we leave off? You were telling me about the supply chain. You're telling me about getting
exactly.
Cost, yes.
So now, listeners, this is something we were discussing offline, and you know, Chi's obviously over the moon. He's wondering what in the world are these guys doing around their supply chain.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that they mention in their annual report is obviously that, you know, procurement of goods and services through a strategic plan of local supplier development continues to be a key focus area for the company in terms of creating value. Now, when I had a chance, and this is obviously all around their Project 400, which basically whose mantra is a path to building a thriving business cost optimization project. So now, one of the things that they've done, and which is obviously, you know, credit to, you know, this company, is that when you control a value chain, it's important that, you know, different segments of the value chain are actually optimized. Now, they've obviously been looking at the tail end, which is getting to the customer. Now, obviously around that is obviously how you're going to handle your supply chain. So having a chance to talk to one of the manages supply chain, he'd actually indicated that the company now was looking to adopting, or rather even upgrading, some of the software that they actually been using in terms of the distribution network.
Okay.
And he says that this technology is basically bringing them to, you know, is bringing them to the future in terms of how exactly they'll actually manage. Now, Chi, imagine this.
Uh-huh.
This is a company that will actually be able to project in the next 5 years what their distribution channels will be, where their bottlenecks mechanics are actually going to be in the supply chain. And then that way they can actually optimize them. And essentially, like I'd mentioned before, by bringing in technology, what this will now mean is that the company now will be able to, you know, to function more efficiently in terms of how they exactly they distribute product to the end customer. Now obviously this requires a lot of permutations, etc. The software will obviously handle all of that, but I believe that their investment in technology is obviously going to help them pay dividends in a literal sense. Exactly. Yes, because obviously when you've got a particular product that's in a very, very competitive market, you want to ensure that you're actually able to foresee how your distribution network is actually going to be performing. And I actually feel that this particular implementation under the Project 400 is actually a significant achievement. It's a step up, especially for procurement and supply. And I'll have people know that next week there's actually a big procurement and supply endeavor. It's being hosted by Zambia Institute of Procurement and Supply.
And I poked a bit of fun at it. I'm like, what do people talk about when they go there?
That's going to be quite interesting. In fact, I'll have listeners know that Financial Insight will be there, and we'll be moderating one of the discussions around that.
You guys have been busy.
We're busy for our readers and listeners. So exactly. So now back to this. Back to this implementation.
So at places like that, that's where they talk about things like using technology to really optimize your supply chain, your value chain.
Exactly.
So anyway, that's a whole other discussion. I actually wanted to get in to is that a whole industry in itself, which it probably is.
It actually is. I mean, look, if you're going to have a company that controls a particular value chain, you need to have an efficient distribution and supply network. Zambrew is another example. They've got a fantastic one. I mean, for you to be popping that Mossy come every Friday evening, there's obviously a lot of work that goes into the logistics.
We take it for granted.
It's not just jumping on a van and then jumping there, because you then now have to monitor issues around stock levels, which is essentially what they're going to be doing as well for the sugar. So they'll actually be able to project and input information such as demand. Geographical, and they've got to break it down to geographical areas. So for example, if the distribution in Kamwala maybe takes in 500 tons of sugar per month, they'll actually be able to know how exactly that stock is actually performing. So that way you can actually optimize your distribution ensuring that the product never runs out, or that particular outlet doesn't sit on inventory, because we all know inventory is a bad thing. It means that you're holding cash. Right. So now, apart from optimizing their supply chain, and this is where we're breaking it down to the listeners in terms of some of the measures that this company is actually making in terms of its road back to paying a dividend.
Even getting into the report.
Exactly.
Itself.
Yes. We haven't even started looking at the numbers. Yeah. The numbers we'll cover later on. Mm. But then one of the things that we also noticed was that the CEO Rebecca Katoa actually touched on the issue of voluntary separation. Now there was a voluntary separation package, a program that they actually went into that was targeting to reduce their workforce by 10%. Now, by reducing permanent staff by 10%, that meant that obviously their wage costs would actually significantly go down. So they actually envisaged a situation where going into the next financial year, those costs would have actually greatly been reduced. Usually,
how is she spinning this into a good story? Usually, when we hear a 10% reduction, it's spun as a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the catch is, you don't forget that this is a publicly listed company, but they have to disclose whatever measures that they put in place to optimize
their own expenses.
And that's one of the things, because obviously costs have been a tad bit run away, but this is how they're trying to now contain costs. However, one of the things that it might sound like the downside to the story, but remember, this is voluntary. So you would actually go up to management and say, look, I think I want to go. Could I just have my package?
And they'll
have
the
exact. It was a voluntary separation program. Yeah, so it's not a sad thing. But then one of the things, and I'll have listeners know that they need to pay attention to this. They've adopted, and I've always been a huge advocate for CSR. But then shared value is actually the hottest thing right now. With shared value, it is value being created on both sides of the CSR equation. So like in this particular case where Zam Sugar actually comes up with certain initiatives that help our communities, in the same way, those initiatives actually now begin to benefit Zamsugar in that, you know, they're actually able to, you know, like probably even have some of their products being offloaded. Now, I would not be surprised or I wouldn't pass it by them that, you know, some of these people that probably go for the voluntary separation, I would imagine that a situation where the management team actually sits them down and say, look, you could actually be a part of, still be a part of the company by participating in some of these programs, and we will support you because you guys wear the Zambia Sugar, you know, t-shirt. And I would actually implore many CEOs out there that are looking at, especially with the SOEs, that are looking at ways in which they can streamline their staff levels, but then again, do not find themselves being labeled as the ones that are getting rid of employment, but then again, give them opportunities to create new businesses.
Yeah.
Because we're in an environment now that should be ripe for entrepreneurship. So these are some of the ways that the big companies can actually give back to the community. Right. So now, essentially, what the voluntary separation program did with the 10%, we saw about 163 jobs that were reduced. In that particular period. So essentially, that's all in the annual report, and these are things that people can actually talk about. Now, one of the things that the article then now winds up discussing is some of the shareholding. Now, this is obviously a precursor to going into the finances of it. I'll have people know that they've got a number of significant shareholders that have stock in the company, and the first one being the Ilovo Group itself, which owns 75%, NAPSA, which is a pension fund, which owns 9.73%, and then Standard Chartered Zambia Securities Nominee Limited as well, which owns about 5.3%, and then the rest obviously is owned a free float that is owned by individuals such as Financial Insight. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. But what is significant here? Obviously, we try to show who some of the players are that you might find in a typical company that invest in companies, and you can see there that with NAPSA being there, there's obviously a policy at NAPSA to invest in companies that look like they're worthwhile. It also underscores the confidence that the NAPSA team actually have in Zambia Sugar.
Yeah.
So it's
would you consider NAPSA a patient investor?
They are a patient investor because chances are that you might not have the appetite to wait, for example, 3 years.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
For us, we are actually leaning more towards the next 2 to 3 years, where we're going to be able to see a dividend, for the simple reason that the weight of the debt stock is obviously weighing quite heavily on Zambia Sugar. But needless to say, if you're a long-term investor, this is stock that you'd want to hold on to for the long term. And another thing that we'll obviously have to keep an eye on, which is going to come out in the next article, is obviously an analysis of how the stock itself has actually performed in terms of capital gains as well.
Oh yes, of course. Yes, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's part one for Zamsugar.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm guessing. Yeah. Are we going to do part two on the show next week as well?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we don't want to bore people too much. Yeah. But we'll cover it.
it's a series to be continued.
No, it is. Yes. It is. But chances are we will, because by then I'll actually be coming straight from the annual general meeting.
The AGM.
Yes, so I'll be fresh from the AGM,
Thursday.
Yes, it's on Thursday next week. Thursday afternoon at Radisson.
Okay.
Yeah. So Financial Insider definitely going to be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. I'll definitely grill you on that one. I want to know everything that you asked them, how they laughed at you in class and stuff like that. All right. Let's take another short break. We're going to come back and talk about a different company, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. All right. So stay tuned. Remember, guys, feel free to send us a message, interact with us 0967-144-220, or on social media, use the hashtag Money Night Show, and we'll get back in touch. All right. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a bit.